Okay, what we're going to do first is an exercise to get you to kind of clear out your mind, because this is called accessing the unconscious. So it isn't deliberate writing. It's trying to get you to do something else. Well, it's like looking at this object and trying to figure out how it's like you. It's trying to draw things out of your unconscious, things you wouldn't think about yourself unless you looked at an odd object or something like that. So what we're doing is trying to do something sneaky on the side while writing with our one hand. And first of all, I just want you to close your eyes, and then I'm going to tell you to imagine certain things. And I just want you to go through this scenario in your head. We're not going to talk about it or anything. We're just going to do it, and then we'll go on with the next part of the hour. So if you'll just close your eyes and relax and see if you can get rid of some of the things you've been doing today. Forget about all the other things that have been going on. And for just a few minutes, I want you to think of a time in your life when you knew you were right. Think of a time that you knew you were absolutely right. And then go over that experience in your memory. Try to remember all the things about that time. What happened before you found out you were right, and what were you right about, and what happened afterwards. Try to go through the whole memory of it. Now take the same experience and make a movie of it. Divide it into acts and run it as a film. See it as scenes, a time that you were right. Now run the film backwards. Now run the acts out of sequence. Do the first act last, and the middle act first, or any way you want to run it, just run it out of sequence. Now go through the whole experience again as you did the first time. Pay exquisite attention to details of the experience and the feeling of rightness. Is there any difference between the first time you went through the experience and the last? And if there was a difference, what was it? Okay, you may open your eyes. One of the major blocks to creativity is the feeling of knowing we are right. When we think we are absolutely right, we stop seeking information. To be right is to be certain, and to be certain stops us from being curious. Curiosity and wonder are at the heart of all learning. And the theme of Holden this summer is listening to the sacred. And because we are all created by a creator, or whatever power you want to call that, or whatever you want to think of it as, because we are all created, we also have within us creativity. And that is what I choose for this Holden summer, to think of as listening to the sacred, that creative voice within each of us. What's brought you here is your urge somehow to connect to that creative part of you. I'm going to read you a poem. The exercises that we're going to do are going to be connected somehow slightly with journal writing. That was what was up on the board. But I want to read a poem first so that you will get an idea of how I want you to let your mind go and let go of everything that's logic and just everything. Just don't think in the same terms that you think of anything anymore. This is probably one of my favorite books. Robert Bly has become quite a controversial figure, so you're not sure whether you dare mention his name in reading circles or not, but this book, The Body is Made of Gopher, Camphorwood, Camphor and Gopherwood, is an early book of his, but it has these beautiful pencil drawings. And writers aren't necessarily original. This whole book is written after reading Lewis Thomas's Lives of the Cell. So most of the writings in this refer to something that Lewis Thomas has also written. So this is called The Origin of the Praise of God. And I want you to listen for the leaps that he makes. He'll ground you in something like an object, but then he'll leap far, far away from that. My friend, this body is made of bone and excited protozoa, and it is with my body that I love the fields. How do I know what I feel but what the body tells me? Erasmus thinking in the snow, translators of Virgil who burn up the whole room, the man in furs reading the Arabic astrologer falls off his three-legged stool in astonishment. This is the body. So beautifully carved inside with the curves of the inner ear and the husk so rough and knuckle brown. As we walk, we enter the magnetic fields of other bodies, and every smell we take in the communities of protozoa see, and a being inside leaps up toward it as a horse rears at the starting gate. When we come near each other, we are drawn down into the sweetest pools of slowly circling energies, slowly circling smells. And the protozoa know there are odors, the shape of oranges, of tornadoes, of octopuses. The sunlight lays itself down before the protozoa, the night opens itself out behind it, and inside it, its own energy lives. So the space between two people diminishes. It grows less and less. No one to weep. They merge at last. The sound that pours from the fingertips awakens clouds of cells far inside the body. And beings unknown to us start out in a pilgrimage to their Savior, to their holy place. Their holy place is a small black stone that they remember from protozoic times when it was rolled away from a door. And it was after that that they found their friends who helped them to digest the hard grains of this world. The cloud of cells awakens, intensifies, swarms. The cells dance inside beams of sunlight so thin we cannot see them. To them, each ray is a vast palace with thousands of rooms. From the dance of the cells, praise sentences rise to the throat of the man praying and singing alone in his room. He lets his arms climb above his head and says, "Now do you still say you cannot choose the road?" So when you're doing your writing exercises, one of the rules that we have is that you accept whatever comes. That's the unconscious sending you these messages, and you are to accept them as gifts from them. And then I'd like to read just a little bit about what William Stafford says. I talk about poetry, but you can write any form you want to write when you're writing. Poetry is inseparable from the rest of our life and from the nature of the universe, and I think that's why I choose poetry. It is an expression of our human experience, and there is no aspect of that experience that is not relevant to it. And this is from William Stafford. I'm only recommending a couple of books. Do you have Wild Mind and Writing Down the Bones in the bookstore by the... Seems to me...
Yes, they do. Or they did.
Or they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
The writing section is excellent, by the way. A couple of really good journal ones, a couple of good ones on the one drawing from the right side of the brain and the companion one to that. Excellent. Spend a whole day there, you can spend your whole salary there. and I just want to read you these, just a few other quotes from William Stafford, just to give you permission to write the worst junk ever, okay? What we're writing isn't a finished product, we're doing raw writing that will give you material. From when you leave here, you can go and write all night long if you want, or you can write every day that you're here, or you can write for months after you leave again. This is called generative writing. And this is what William Stafford says. The importance of just plain receptivity to get started I will accept anything that occurs to me, anything. You have to trust what comes to you. I must be willing to fail. If I am to keep on writing, I cannot bother to insist on high standards. I must get into action and not let anything stop me or even slow me much. Now I am headlong to discover. Any distraction may harm the creating. So receptive, careless of failure, I spin out things on the page, and a wonderful freedom comes. If something occurs to me, it is all right to accept it. It has one justification. It occurs to me. No one else can guide me. I must follow my own weak wandering, my own diffident impulses. I am often baffled about what skill has to do with the precious little area of confusion when I do not know what I am going to say. And then I find out what I am going to say. That precious interval I am unable to bridge by skill. What can I witness about it? It remains mysterious. If it is skill, it is the skill we all have, something we must have learned before the age of 3 or 4. A writer is one who has become accustomed to trusting that grace or luck or skill. I passed, some of you were here yesterday, and I gave you the basic diary devices. So if you have a sheet already, you may use one today, but don't keep a second one so that we can all share. I think there should be enough probably for everybody here. We did some of the writing exercises from this.
Are we going to use that?
No, you don't need it, actually. I think for the people that are new, possibly, but yeah. You won't be looking. I'll just be giving you an exercise.
It's all the same now. Same stuff.
Yeah, it's all the same as I handed out yesterday. But I will pass out one other sheet that I didn't give everybody yesterday. I didn't have it with me. And that is, Natalie Goldberg probably has. This is,
okay.
Yeah. This one is new, so hopefully there will be enough for everyone. If you know you're not going to use it, you can leave it. But and if you don't get a copy, let me know and I'll see that I get copies made for you. In the basic diary devices, at the bottom of the page is a wonderful small paragraph. This is from The New Diary by Tristan Rayner. And there are hundreds of diary books. And I just always use hers. I haven't found any that do too much different. Someone came up afterwards yesterday and mentioned Ira Krogoff, and I hope I have that spelled right there. There wasn't one in the library, but he has something called the Intensive Journal, which you go and take this very expensive workshop and you get a big notebook like this with all the dividers. And I mean, it's an excellent course, but it really goes into heavy duty stuff.
Pardon? Very structured.
Yes, very structured, right. And then I'll just put in a plug for a friend of mine. Ron Klug is probably in his fourth printing of a book called Keeping a Spiritual Journal. I think it's by Bantam. It's out in paperback now. It was first done by Augsburg Press, in case you're interested in something like that, a spiritual journal. I'm not giving you a lot of directions on how to keep a journal because they're all so personal. I don't differentiate for myself between diary and journal. Some say a journal goes more into feelings and emotions and that sort of thing, whereas a diary is just, you know, what happened every day and that sort of thing. But we all do our own thing. Right now, this is what I don't journal every day. Every time I change something in my life, like come to Holden, I have to find a new place or space or time to write. So I haven't written much since I've been here. But I've started recently. I clip so many things out of newspapers and magazines, and then I never get them filed, and my four-drawer file is filled, so I've been starting to paste things in my journal, like things that I find that I like. Or they also make good things to write from when you don't have anything to write about. You can look at that. Or the articles that you put in, you can write from those things. Articles from the newspaper make excellent ways to write. And you can just write what you think about it or how you feel about it, just to explore your own ideas about it. So you can do anything you want for a journal. Journal keeping requires only writing materials, so you know, splurge on the most beautiful book and the best pens and pencils, and then try to find 5 or 10 minutes space during the day or night sometime to write every day if you can, or at least set aside special times to do it, because it's better if you do it regularly. And the only thing I would say is date everything, you know. But some people keep a journal all year and burn it at the end of the year. I would be very careful who you share your journal with. If you want to share something in your journal, I would type it out or copy it out and hand it to a friend and say, this is something I wrote that I wanted you to read. But I would never give someone my journal to read. Not that I have anything in it that anyone would want to read, but I don't even like reading it when I go back sometimes. But that's just one of the things that... And also, trying to decide what to do with your journals should something happen to you. That's also another big issue that a lot of people discuss. But I'm not really dealing with those things. I just want to give you ideas for writing and doing things in your journal. So the first exercise we'll do so that you get your... Oh, let's look at the rules. First Thoughts for Writing by Natalie Goldberg first. Because when we write in here, it will be a timed writing, and that's a good way to do in your journal too. Say, okay, I'm going to write for 5 minutes, and then stick to that. The rules are simply to keep your hand moving, lose control, say what you want to say, don't worry if it's correct, polite, appropriate, just let it rip. Forget your Lutheran or, you know, don't forget all the things you were brought up to do correctly. And you know, that's not really, and that's a very difficult thing to do. It really is. I mean, I do everything right. I tried to make sure I only had 78 pounds of luggage when I came, you know, because it said so in the sheet that I got. And so, you know, it's really hard to let go of those things because we learn to do what the teacher told us to do, and we, you know. So if I say, write from your soul, and then you raise your hand and say, what do you mean by soul? You don't need to know what I mean by soul. You just have to take it from there with your own. So, and be specific. Not just car, but Cadillac, as it says here. You know, give things names, colors. Be very specific so that you remember when you go back and read it what you were talking about. And don't think. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? But if you're writing from the unconscious, you don't want to think, because the thinking is the conscious part of you. You want this other part that's been stored up there since the day you started floating around in the amniotic fluid. All of those things are waiting to come out somehow. So that's, you don't want to think. You don't want to think. You just want to put your pen down on the paper and let it come out from the unconscious. Don't worry about punctuation, spelling, grammar. You are free to write the worst junk in America. No one is going to say, oh, that's terrible, or oh, that's good, or anything. When we read, we just go around and read, and everyone listens and appreciates what you have written down. Go for the jugular. If something scary comes up, go for it. That's where the energy is. Hemingway said, write hard and clear about what hurts. Do some focused, disciplined, keeping the hand moving to learn about cutting through resistance. And it's the things that hurt that are waiting to get out for some reason. And those are the things we keep writing around and around and around. We could write, probably fill a whole journal before we actually get to something maybe that we really want to write about. Okay, let's do an exercise. At the top of your paper, just across the top, there's paper and pencil here in the middle for those of you that came in. I've got one notebook and a tablet here. If those of you sitting on chairs want to write on that. Does anyone need a tablet to write on? Otherwise, there's this table over here if you just want to sit. Well, just write and then you won't sit. Okay, across the top of the page, put a name of a river you know. We're going to do a list. Lists are wonderful in your journal. Some days, if you don't have time to write, you can just put lists down the side and then write from them later. But lists are also good ways to bring up things to write about from the unconscious. Okay, put down a river you know, a color. Without thinking, just put the first color that comes to your mind. A city. A street. A fruit. A month. And a job. It doesn't have to be your job, just a job that comes, whatever comes to mind. Okay, now I'll give you a 5-minute timed writing from these words that you have listed at the top, do 10 to 12 lines. Oh, maybe I should write these up here so you have an idea. So I can. Or can you get it? Can you listen?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give you four ideas for things to write about using these seven words at the top. The last time you were in love, the first time you had a best friend, a time you celebrated Christmas alone, or whatever your wild mind suggests. So take those seven words up above and write 10 to 12 lines about one of those statements. I'll read through them once more. The last time you were in love, or the first time if you want to, the first time you had a best friend, a time you celebrated Christmas alone, or something else that comes to your mind that you would like to write about. Using those words above. And it doesn't mean they have to be true. It doesn't mean they have to be true. This is listening to the unconscious. It's taking whatever comes to your mind. Table. There would be room for two more people if you don't have a notebook. Maybe they come down at this end of the table here without a notebook there. Stand back here. Okay, I think we'll just read every other one, go around and read every other one this time. There are quite a few of us tonight, so. Would you like to start?
He wanted me to go to Chicago with him in June when school was out, but I didn't want a city excitement. I wanted the challenge of nature, of green trees and mountaintops, teaching me the oneness of the universe, God's magnificent creation, what humans out of greed destroy. So I left La Jolla, quiet La Jolla, and found Railroad Creek, singing, laughing, dancing down the mountainside, leaping off precipices and surprising waterfalls.
Can you all hear down the other end when people read? Maybe we'll go three. Let's go three.
She doesn't like to read anything.
What is it, wild?
Okay.
It was an invitation. I couldn't read this.
It was one of those hot August days, but it was only early July. I thought I'd melt here in downtown Tualatin. There was no way out of town, so I found a lone tree to sit under. There I was, half awake. I think when I swear I saw two purple Martians coming at me. They said they had landed in the Willamette just a few miles south of where we sat. They heard I sold apricots. Now that was absurd. I don't sell apricots, I make them. Oh, that was even better. Could I teach them how? Okay, we're going to go 1, 2, 3.
It's hard to remember now, it seems so long ago. I'm sitting here by the little Spokane thinking back to that time in Chicago on R Street when my friend and I had shared an apple in June, watching the street sweeper go by. He was wearing a blue shirt, a blue that hurt the eyes, it was so brilliant, and the truth of who he was and the beauty of him had burned into my soul. A friend with a freedom to him and our relationship that was exciting. He was who he was and I either accepted him that way or not.
1, 2, 3.
I crossed the Missouri River on foot that day, longing for company of some kind. All I had eaten for the day was kiwi fruit and cranberries in honor of Christmas Day. Christmas Day, Jesus is born, my teacher. What was he telling me now, saying to me now as my feet dragged in a 3-foot glacier, which now resided next to the river? How I wished it was July, my month. Always a summer baby, I hated the long, cold city winters. So why was I returning there on foot without a companion? The climate changes have come suddenly. First, the harsher than harsh winter, then the floods, finally the glacier, and I was alone.
Remember your numbers, 1, 2, 3 in the pink.
Oh, I'd rather not read.
Okay. You only get one pass in this class. 2, 3 right here.
Minneapolis is white with blue-shaded snow in January. As I walked down Nicollet Avenue, I shivered at 3. A janitor shoveled snow and drained a medium kiwi fruit in Hawaii. I hurried to the corner and stopped for the light. The snow drifted in streams like the Cedar River as it wound its way through the farmland.
1, 2, 3.
The river is easy, the still Guamish where my grandparents' dairy farm lay in a fork. I would come from Olympia and my home on Cushing Street and stay and wander the farm. I loved to sit in the aged apple tree and in the pasture and felt the quietness of being alone. And also the hayloft where I would gaze into the timeless blue sky. And now my life is not that of a child, and I question what direction is ahead for myself, and feel with fear that by February it should be clear.
And you be 3 here, so 1, 2.
Angry, alone, staring out the picture window. Cars drive peacefully by as I rage. Tears in my eyes, unfocused, hot liquid streaming down my face, frustrated and hurt that I was stuck here, nowhere to go or to talk to, desperately wanting to leave but cannot. The injustice, the hated silence, the warlike atmosphere charged with emotional smoke, slowly drifting, dying waves of thoughts numb the raw edge of my mind, and fatigue sets in.
Okay. So we have 1 and 2, so we have no more 2s. Okay. Now that piece that you've just written, you can continue to write from that if you want to, if it's something that excites your imagination. Or if there's something in there that you discover about yourself. Now none of this needs to be anything that's true about any of you. None of us knows what's true and what's not true in it. So that's the wonderful part of writing. You can do whatever you want. The next thing we're going to do is 4 stanzas. Now, what's a stanza? All I want is 4 lines. No, that's not right. I want 4 stanzas of 5 lines each. Okay? And we'll do a timed writing with this one, too. And what I want you to start with is, I wish you were here, blank. And this can be, I wish you were here, dear. I wish you were here, Joe. I wish you were here, Sarah. Whatever you want. But I want you to start with that. And in each of these stanzas of 5 lines, I want you to repeat "I wish" at least twice. Using the repetition of that "I wish." You can do it in the first 2 lines, you can do it however you like. But 4 stanzas, which simply means 4 groups of 5s with a space in between, so you know that the stanzas.
And each stanza should have "I wish" twice.
Each stanza should start with "I wish." The first line has to be "I wish you were here, blank," and then use "I wish" again in that first stanza, so it's twice. But just the "I wish" has to be repeated twice in each of the stanzas.
Twice, or
yeah, twice in each stanza.
Can you more than twice?
Sure, mm-hmm. But at least twice. Mm-hmm. And the less you think about it, the better results you'll have. Just take whatever comes to your mind first. It doesn't have to be a person even. It can be whatever you want to be in that first line. Okay, I think because time is passing, I'm going to stop you here on this. But please finish it on your own. But I think what we'll do is we'll go around and each one of you can choose one of your stanzas to read. Okay? And then we'll just read the one. So we'll each be reading 5-1. All right, let's just do it with the 1 and 2s, because we've already had 3 reads. So it'll be 1 and 2. 1. Where's 2? Okay. So do you all know which of you are 1s and 2s? Okay, let's just do it with the 1s and 2s. That way we'll get all of them.
I wish you were here, Eric. We would talk of plants, and maybe I could manage to say to you, I wish we are very close, mother and son communion.
I wish you were here to see the way they've grown, to see how the tall one has started up and come to this new glory in his uncertainty. I wish you were here to feel the wind in your face, to feel the cold dry emptiness you left here.
I really wish you were here, Dodo Butt. I really do wish you were here to push me off the ski dock into the icy water. I really would have enjoyed getting pneumonia for a week.
Okay. I wish you were here, JFK. You wouldn't believe what your country has become. I wish you could see the dark and the light that fills the cities and the countryside, that sings in the mystery of the USA.
We're the next one. Okay. Yeah. 2, really. No, you're 1.
I wish you were here, Grandma. There's something gone when you're not. I wish I was back in your house, sitting on your lap, eating cookies. I wish you were here.
You too. Sorry.
Pass.
You want to pass? Okay.
I wish you could visit with the diversity of causes to experience the Native American traditions and be able to affirm women are gay and lesbian brothers and sisters.
Okay. I wish you were here, my dear. You know what we sometimes try to share. I wish our minds could somehow know what the other ones should do.
Are you 1?
I was 3. But
okay, so behind you, right?
I'm 1.
Yeah, okay.
I wish you were here today. We could enjoy the rain, walk the creek, look for bears. I wish you were here today.
I wish you were here to make me laugh, to say what I might dare not say, to offer an insight or a word or two. I wish you had my ear and I yours.
I wish I could feel your presence and know I was safe, to know I was not alone. I wish I could share my joy in these mountains and the sounds of the comforting creek.
2.
Is that me? I wish you were here, singing. Pour in your soul through lyric and drifting melody, calling after the mountain day. I wish your song were here.
Okay, 1.
I wish you were here, dear mom and dad, to share in my joy and the beauty of this magnificent place. I wish you were here to share in the sacred that goes beyond the senses to the being of Christ.
I wish your eyes could see the colors blue, red, and brown as the sleek trout shines below the blue water, the majesty, the excitement. I am always awed by these marvelous creatures of God, the beauty, the strength.
I wish you were here. Oh, how I wish you were here to take from me some of the stuff inside my head. It fills up and bursts out in funny ways. I'm nervous with her like one in love. I wish you were here so the desire could be received by you.
I wish you were here to see me growing up. I've aged. I've become... I'm no longer a little curious boy that would always ask curious questions. I wish that you were here now so that I could borrow some of your wisdom.
Okay, you're all on a good start. She is a great... She's here to listen, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you take this sheet with you, use it for your writing practice. You have enough to write for the rest of your life without anything ever happening to you again. And of course, that's not the way your life is going to be. But if you use this writing practice that Natalie Goldberg uses, you will have a resource for writing for all time. I'm going to close with just one short poem. This is a book by Jim Harrison called The Theory and Practice of Rivers. He's from the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, He thought he was Hemingway for a long time, so he's a very macho man, but he has some very wonderful poetry. And I would like to just close with this one part of a poem called Cabin Poem. I've decided to make up my mind about nothing, to assume the water mask, to finish my life disguised as a creek, an eddy, joining at night the full sweet flow, to absorb the sky, to swallow the heat and cold, the moon and the stars, to swallow myself in ceaseless flow. So go forth and write.
Thank you.